Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Lord, we look all around us. And we see answered prayers. We see something to be thankful for every day that you give us. Lord, I'm thankful this morning for this worship team, for the musicians, for the vocalists. I'm thankful for what they bring to our service. We're thankful for Bob and Teresa Phipps and for their ministry in Lynch. And I'm thankful for the opportunity for Second Mile to be involved in their mission work and for us individually to have a chance to be a part of that. Lord, I'm thankful today for the courage of a majority of our Supreme Court justices. Just seems like we have so much to be thankful for. And now, Lord, I'm going to echo Mark's earlier prayer. Back in the book of Malachi, you referred to letting you open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And we just hope today you'll do that, and that blessing will be in the form of rain, because we sure do need it at my house, and I guess all over the county. Everybody's dry, so Lord, we sure could use some rain. Now, Father, for the next 2 hours, I pray for Brother Cal as he preaches and for Billy as he teaches. Lord, open our ears and our hearts that your word might might come into us, and that we might leave here blessed, refreshed, and revived. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dick. I've entitled the message today, Citizens of Heaven, and we're in Philippians. We're just about through this book. I'm going to finish it up, Lord willing, unless he comes to get us before next Sunday. I'm going to finish this great book of joy up, but this morning we find ourselves in Philippians chapter 3, verses starting at verse 15 and then moving down through chapter 4 and verse 9. But let me just read the conversation that we're in with this morning in the Word of God. Paul started this off way back in chapter 1, verse 27. Let's look at that verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, and then we'll jump over to the theme for this morning's message. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, jump over to Philippians chapter 3. And just want to read verse 20 there, and then we'll move through all of these verses that we're in this morning. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Did you catch that? "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Father, would you bless and honor your word this morning? Would you apply it to our lives? Would you help us to understand what it means to be a citizen of heaven and what that looks like? And God, help us to apply the privileges and the responsibilities that come along with being a citizen of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Webster's dictionary defines citizen like this: A member of a nation, state, town, or city who owes its allegiance by birth or naturalization and is entitled to political privileges and rights. We're citizens of Clarksville, Tennessee. Now, you were either born here. How many of y'all were born in Clarksville? Oh, wow. How many of y'all have moved to Clarksville? All right. All of you all that have been. How many of y'all are visiting Clarksville today? One, two, three, four. Anybody else visiting? Well, I'm speaking primarily today to the citizens of Clarksville. And being a citizen of Clarksville entails some privileges and responsibilities. We have the privilege and the right to vote and voice our opinion concerning our city and county governments here. And we have the right or the privileges really to use the roads. How many of y'all drove in on one of our roads today? All right? That's a privilege of being a citizen of Clarksville. And so we use the utilities and the commerce of this great city. And so there's all kinds of perks and privileges for being a city of Clarksville, but there's also some responsibilities. We should be loyal to our community. We should stand behind our community. Help me, Jesus. We do have a responsibility to vote, to get out and vote. If you don't get out and vote, you don't have any right to complain or fuss or gripe. And by the way, I had no idea that the Supreme Court was going to do away with abortion rights in our nation. Wasn't that wonderful? And, you know, getting rid of Roe versus Wade has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with morality. Okay? But I had no idea, and here we are talking about citizenship this morning. Isn't that just the way God works? I mean, and so we have responsibilities there. And being a citizen of Clarksville means that we're loyal to our community. We abide by its laws. We pay our taxes. We do what we need to do because we're citizens of Clarksville. Well, in chapter 3 and verse 20, you just heard that we're citizens of a higher place than Clarksville. We're citizens of what? Heaven. That's right. We're citizens of heaven. Hebrews 11 and verses 9 and 10 tell us that we are citizens of another country whose builder and maker is God. That place is called heaven. Do you understand that Clarksville is really not your home? It's not your ultimate home. Heaven is. We're citizens of heaven, and we need to live that way. We need to live that way. Now, you may not have realized this morning, but this world isn't our home. We're just moving through this world. We're strangers. We're foreigners in a strange land, the Bible says. We're heading home. We're going to home. And we belong to that country called heaven. And so I want to talk about our citizenship in heaven, in that land that's fairer than day. And by faith, you can see it afar. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I want to tell you, heaven is more near and dear to my heart now than it was just a few years ago because of the people who have gone on there. Heaven's a sweet place, and if you're one of God's children, that's where you're headed. And so along with being a citizen of heaven, we have some privileges and responsibilities that go along with that. So first of all, I want to give you three truths this morning concerning the privileges and responsibilities of being a citizen of heaven. First of all, citizens of heaven are guided by a pattern. They're guided by a pattern. Look at verses 15 through 17. Therefore, let us. Who is us? As many as are mature, have this mind. What mind? The mind of Christ. Remember, that's what we've been talking about. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind, the mind of Christ. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Citizens of heaven are guided by a pattern. First of all, we've got a faithful example to follow. Now, Paul writes not to magnify his dedication to the Lord, but to inspire and motivate our dedication to the Lord. You know, so many times in ministry, we have the idea in our churches that we've got pastors and we've got trained ministers, we've got paid staff, and as a result, a lot of folks in the church, so to speak, will sit up. They treat it like a spectator sport. Well, that's what we pay him to do. Or that's what we pay her to do. No, we're all in this thing together. Everybody needs to be in the game. And so Paul challenges the Philippians here to get in the game. Now, some of these folks were mature, and Paul simply reminds them, just keep your eyes on Jesus and your hands on the plow. Just keep doing what you're doing. But of course, there were many that were not mature, and he encourages them to start serving the Lord in some type of capacity. And in order to do that, Paul said, "But just follow my example. If you don't have anybody to follow, follow me." What an amazing statement that is to us this morning. I want to say to all of you, now remember who Paul was. He was a soul winner. He was a church planter. He was a missionary. He had a pastor's heart. He was a great Bible teacher. His spiritual gift was one of exhortation. He was a disciple maker. And here was someone in the flesh that the Philippians could pattern their spiritual lives after. You can probably guess where I'm going right now. We, that's us, that's you and me, ought to be providing a spiritual example for the younger folks to follow. I don't care if you're an aunt, uncle, mom or dad, grandmother, granddaddy, we ought to be living our lives in such a way that they can follow us, and in following us, they're following Jesus. We ought to be living Jesus in front of them. We ought to be showing them how to worship, showing them how to pray, what to pray, showing them what it means to live a godly life, to show them what it means to serve the Lord with gladness. And so Paul's setting that example for the Philippians, and I come here today to ask you, whose life are you influencing? Who are you setting the example for? Parents? Parents, we should set the example for our children. We should set the example for our grandchildren. I was so thankful to read the quote on Facebook about Mark Barnett. He's got the younger generation on his heart and on his mind. And and he's providing an example for his kids. And not just Mark. Let's bless God, let's put Betty in there too. Amen, Mark? You better say amen. So we're to provide spiritual examples for our young folks, so that they can see what it means to follow Jesus. And I could roll through the crowd now, but we don't have time to do that. But there is a faithful example for people to follow. And then we have a false example to flee. Look at verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. You know, wherever the Apostle Paul went, he enjoyed opposition. He encountered that, didn't he? And in most of his letters to the churches, he warns these new converts about false teachers and false preachers. Paul was quite sure that the false teachers had followed him there at Philippi, and so while Paul's separated now, he's in the church, he's in prison in Rome, he's concerned about these folks that were coming in and confusing the saints and teaching falsehoods and causing division in the church. And even as Paul was warning these believers about the enemies of the cross of Christ, what's he doing? He's weeping. He's weeping about their destruction. That word destruction is the word perdition, which is the same word Jesus used in describing Judas. He's weeping over their desires. These folks were legalists. They even with the Jewish dietary laws and all this about circumcision and the Jewish religion and regulations and rules and all of that stuff, and they're lost. You know, false teachers are very earthly minded and not a very much heavenly good. And so don't follow the example. And by the way, you'll hear Billy talk about it every Sunday in our adult class. Don't follow some false teacher or preacher. And I've come here today to tell you, they're a dime a dozen. And by the way, every other faith group outside of Christianity is based on good works. Think we can merit our own salvation. Think we can be good enough and live good enough to get to heaven. That's a lie from the pit of hell itself. No one's good enough to get to heaven. That's why Jesus came. Y'all with me now? All right. And so citizens of heaven, first of all, are guided by a pattern. Pick you out somebody to follow. And if you're having trouble picking somebody out, ask me. I'll tell you who you need to follow. His name's Jesus. And you can find him. And you can find others that are following him. Here's the second truth. Citizens of heaven, watch this. In verses 20 through chapter 4 and verse 1, are guarded by a position. Watch this. Now, the word citizenship has to do with our behavior as citizens. By the way, how many of y'all been watching the fallout of the Supreme Court's ruling? I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is. On both sides. I mean, you've got these rabid, folks on both sides. There's a right way and a wrong way to act. And as citizens of heaven, we act according. Now, I thank God that the Supreme Court justices overruled Roe versus Wade. After 50 years of slaughtering unborn babies and them not having a voice, they finally got a voice in the Supreme Court, and it's ruled unconstitutional. Thank God. Give him praise for that today. Hallelujah. And I heard all the mess about, you know, the women's safety and the woman's rights and all that, and I understand all that. But nobody said anything about the rights of those unborn children. They're the innocent bystanders in this mess. And so I thank God for what happened. And by the way, this fight is not over. It's coming back to the states. It's just getting started again. But we're going to stand where we've always stood. We're going to stand for life. Amen? Now, if you're opposed to that, I am sorry, but you need to read your Bible. It's crystal clear. And so there's three things I want to say about being guarded by a position. Our home, first of all, is in heaven. Look at verse 20 and verse 8. For our citizenship is in heaven. Now, when a baby, y'all, was born in Philippi, watch this. His name was recorded and registered in the legal records. And when a lost sinner is saved, he or she becomes a citizen of heaven, and his name is written down in a book called the Book of Life. Did you know Jesus has a book? He's got books. He's got the Bible. He is the written word. He's the living word. But he's also got the book of life. Now, where'd you get that? Look at verse 4. See the latter part of verse 4? Whose names are written in the book of life. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Whose names are written in the book of life. And so if you're born again, when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, Jesus confessed your name by writing your name in the book of life. And one of these days when we all stand before the Lord, that book of life is going to be opened, and you better pray your name's in that book. Has your name been written in the book of life? Our home is in heaven. And what a home. Think about this. What a home we've got in heaven. It's the street. And there's no streets in heaven. According to Revelation 21, there's one street. It's Main Street. And it goes all through heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And that street is paved with gold. The walls are made with jasper. That's a diamond-like substance. The gates are made of pearl. The throne room of heaven is surrounded by a tremendous rainbow. A crystal river flows from the throne, which feeds the tree of life. And there are many mansions, or what we would call abiding places, along the street. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Do y'all even think about heaven? Think about it. It ought to stir your heart this morning when you think about the glory. Can you imagine going to a place where Jesus is and we'll be face to face with Him? And your loved ones who are in Christ are already there? And it's going to be a great reunion, and you're never going to get sick again. You're not going to have to suffer. There'll be no more bad news in heaven. Everything will be just right. And you'll never sin again. And oh, mercy. And no more death. Funeral homes are going to be out of a job. I mean, heaven is a wonderful place. And so we're guarded by that position. And secondly, our hope, our home's not only in heaven, but our hope is in heaven. And I've been kind of jumping on that already, but look at verse 20 in the latter part of that. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, listen to this, watch this, lean in, don't miss this, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body. Say hallelujah. According to the working by which He's able even to subdue all things to Himself. Our blessed hope is wrapped up in the appearance of Jesus Christ. You do know Jesus is coming again. You do know that, don't you? When's He coming? You know why I think people won't want to study the book of Revelation? All the time I'm having people ask me, let's go to the book of Daniel. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's go to the book of Zechariah. Let's look at all these prophetic books. You want to know why most people want to do that? So that they can figure out when Jesus is coming so they can get right at just the right time. And some of us are just plain curious. We want to know when He's coming. I don't know when He's coming. But can I just tell you? Today, we're one day closer to His coming than yesterday. And I'm like Adrian Rogers. We ought to live as citizens of heaven. We ought to live as if Jesus was crucified yesterday, rose from the grave this morning, and He's coming this afternoon. That's our hope. He's coming again. He is coming again. Look at your neighbor and tell him, He's coming! Yeah, He's coming. Our hope is in heaven. And so, let me just give you, here's some of the signs that the Bible talks about that will happen just before His return. We should anticipate that return. And let me just give you a few of those. The rebirth of Israel as a nation again. That's never happened in human history. That's a sign of His coming. The coming together of all the nations over in Europe to provide a one world market. That's another sign that He's coming. The discovery years ago of nuclear power. The widespread use of illegal drugs. The huge advancement of technology and the way that's rolling. The toleration of pornography and the spread of false religion. The apostasy of the church. The widespread famine all across the world. You hear about famine, deadly disease, increase in earthquakes and natural disasters, and the outbreak of war. All of these things, Jesus said, they're like the birth pains of a woman. When those birth pains of a woman get closer and closer together and they get stronger and stronger and stronger, what happens? The baby's born. Well, Jesus is about to return. Because when you look at the signs, it's evident He is coming soon. And are we ready? So our hope is in heaven. And are you living? And if we lived every day as if really we thought Jesus was coming today, we'd all be better citizens, wouldn't we? That's right. That's a good word, preacher. All right. Thirdly, our help is from heaven. Our home, our hope, and our help is from heaven. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, we'll get done here in a little while. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. The Word of God gives us the command to stand fast. The enemies of the cross were prowling about. And if we allow a little indulgence here and a little carelessness there, a questionable book here, a lustful look there, Satan will bring utter despair and destruction into our lives. But when God's people pray, all of heaven is moved. It's been said that no human hand can hinder heavenly help. Can y'all say that with me? No. Y'all got it. We need to pray. I said we need to pray. Tell somebody, pray. That's where our help comes from. Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. Our home, our hope, and our help is in heaven. By the way, where is Jesus today? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's at the right hand of the Father. And what is Jesus doing right now? Is he polishing his nails? And is he putting ointment on his scars? No, he's praying for us. And when your prayers get to be the prayers of Jesus, guess what? Your prayer gets answered. And so we need to pray. I'm going to talk more about prayer here in just a minute. But we are guided by a pattern. We are guarded by a position. And then finally, we are gripped by peace. Shout peace with me.
Peace.
We need peace, amen? That's what we need. All right, look at chapter 4 and verse 2 through verse 5. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Somebody shout rejoice.
Rejoice.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Citizens of heaven can be gripped by peace. We can have peace in our relations. Now, there were some beloved brethren, or could I say sistren, that were fussing with one another in Philippi. Now, we don't have any earthly idea what the dispute was between these two women. We don't know the details. All we need to know is that it was bringing division into the church. Differences had probably been mentioned. Words had been spoken. Sides had been taken. And the church was in danger of splitting. And now, you remember last week we were talking about the last couple of weeks. Who did Paul send back to Philippi from the prison he was in Rome? You remember that big long name? Epaphroditus. How could y'all forget E? Epaphroditus. And so, don't you know when Epaphroditus, they'd send him with a missionary offering to Rome for Paul. And just as soon as he got back, don't you know they had a big, I don't believe in potluck, I believe in covered dish luncheons. Okay? Y'all with me so far? And so he, tell us, you know, I'm sure they had a big fellowship meal and dinner and all that stuff. And then I'm sure they asked him, tell us about Paul. How's Paul doing? And he told them about Paul. And then he pulled that letter out that Paul had written to the church in Philippi that is right here in your Bible today. And he read the first 82 verses. And suddenly, like a bolt of lightning, the two ladies heard their names mentioned. What do you think that went down like? I would imagine they were looking for a place to hide. I'm sure a hush fell over the church. And the faces of these two ladies probably turned crimson red. One of them may have begun to cry. The other probably dropped her head. You know, brothers and sisters, we don't fuss and we don't fight and we don't argue over things that have no eternal value. We can disagree all day long about your favorite sports team. And guess what? We can still have fellowship. I don't care if you're in Alabama and your blood bleeds red, crimson red. We can have fellowship with one another. We can disagree. Oh, boy, it's getting quiet over you. See how testy this gets? You know, we can agree to disagree about our music, about our, you know, our whatever. We can agree to disagree about our books that we like, our dress, even our diet. Well, I like the paleo diet. Well, I like the keto diet. Well, I like this and I like that. Well, good. But we don't get all bent out of shape about stuff that has no eternal value. Now, there's some big issues. I call them the big rocks of salvation. There are hills that we need to be willing to die on. And we're talking about absolute truth here. But most of this stuff has, you know, that we have a falling out about and that we just have a fit over, it doesn't amount to anything. Y'all know I'm right. So we agree to disagree. And Paul, I love Paul commissioned those in the faith to help solve the problem, this Clement and others. Paul's answer to all of life's problems is the Lord. By the way, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I've noticed that when y'all are rejoicing, there's not much time for division. Hello? Isn't that a good word for us? And so he says, the Lord is at hand. And so we can have peace in our relations. We can have peace in our supplication. These would be two great memory verses for you. Verses 6 and 7. How many of y'all worry from time to time? Come on, ladies. My daddy was a doctor here for years and years and years. And guys, most of his patients were women. Do you know why? Because men don't want to admit we got a problem and need to go to the doctor. We think we can fix it on our own or it'll just go away, right? Come on, guys, I'm preaching truth. And so Dad said 90% of his patients were women. And I said, really? He said, yeah, and 90% of those women were worried about something that hadn't happened yet. And I said, well, what did you tell all of them? And he said, well, I just tell them, stop worrying. Now, if it happens, then you can start worrying. But they were worried about stuff that hadn't even happened yet. And so the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Don't get worried about anything, but pray about everything. That's what it says. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. In other words, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. And when you're praying, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I thank you that I'm having to depend on you because in the midst of this trouble that I've got, I'm drawing closer to you. Be thankful in your prayer time. And then he says, I love this. He says, let your request be made known unto God. And then you know what will happen? Look at this. Watch this. Don't miss it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Woo! I wish y'all could have been here Wednesday night. Man, there is power when God's people pray together. And you know what? There is peace when God's people pray together. We had some fantastic worship time. And we had a great time up in here Wednesday night praying. For those of you that were here, say amen. Amen. And we had some folks, we had people, you know, shedding tears. We had some folks really getting real with one another and asking people to, you know, to really pray about things. And you know what I noticed Wednesday when we all left? Everybody in here had peace. Amen. Nikki McCullough, she asked prayer for her dad who had just heard and gotten bad word about cancer. And she was in tears, and we were all in, but man, we began to pray. And I don't know, when God's people come together and let our requests be made known unto Him with thanksgiving, you know what God does? He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. And He'll guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so we need to pray together. The result of praying together is having the peace of God. And then finally, we can have peace in meditation. Now, if you've got a bad case of the negatives this morning, maybe you don't, but you probably will. You know, some mornings you just get up and, oh, good Lord, it's morning. You know what I'm talking about? Listen to this. This is great advice for all of us. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Get off the negative junk. There's a ton of that stuff out there. Get on something positive and meditate on that. Where do you find something positive? The Word of God. Meditate on these things. And you'll begin to have thanksgiving for it. And then he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Woo! You know, my mind went back to the Lord's trial when they were called Him in for questioning and interrogating Him. And they couldn't get Him to say anything mean or anything bad. They had to bring false witnesses in. Why? Because all Jesus ever did was think the right thoughts. And if you'll think the right thoughts, and there they are, they're in verse 8. Daily meditation on these words, on the Word of God, not only leads to right thinking, it leads to right living. That is a fantastic word for all of us today. When you think the right thoughts, it leads to right thinking and right living. You know who the liar is? Satan. And he's going to lie to you, and he's going to sow discord in your heart, and he's going to try to get you so messed up that you're thinking all the wrong thoughts, but not Jesus. He wants you to think the right. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? To think the thoughts of Jesus. Phew. Well, I've run way out of time. Let's wrap it up like this. What does your reputation as a citizen of the kingdom, what does that look like this morning? Does your life bring glory to God? Does it? I mean, can people follow your example and find Christ? Do you claim the name of Christ? And you're living for His honor and praise and glory? Oh, you can't do it, but He can. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I don't know who you are today, but I believe God brought some folks here this morning to be better citizens of heaven. There's a right way to live, and there's a wrong way to live. And the right way to live, we've just heard. Father, help us, help us, help us. Please, Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. And I don't know exactly, Father, what you're wanting to do here today, but these messages in the book of Philippians, if we'll just do what these words tell us to do, we'll have joy. We'll have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh God, help us today. And I pray, Father, for everyone here this morning, and especially those that are here that have not had their names written in the book of life. If you're not sure about that, if you'll pray this morning right where you sit, a prayer like this, Father, I know I've made a mess of things. I'm a sinner. And I know my sins have separated me from you. But I believe that your Son, Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. And I believe he died a death for me. He paid for all my sins. And Father, I believe your Son is alive today. And as best I understand it, I give my life to him. I surrender all to Jesus today. Take my life and do what you want to with it. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me here in this place today. If you prayed that prayer and really meant it, you just became a citizen of heaven. Jesus just wrote your name down in the book of life with his own blood. And now it's your time to respond and follow him. We're going to have an altar call. If you'd like to come and express the decision that you've made today to follow Christ, we'll rejoice with you. We'll set up a time to baptize you. We'll get a record of your decision today, and we'll put some stuff in your hands to get you started right in your new life with Christ. Maybe the rest of you are here and you need to pray. Like we've been talking about, you need to pray. Altar's always open here at our church. Father, bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Andrew's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.